Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
When the strange becomes reality, when the light becomes dark, when you open your eyes and the monsters are still there, that's when you want your family. Welcome to the safest place in the paranormal world, TAPS Family Radio. They're the family you always wish you had. Your hosts tonight are Tim Ellis of the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society of Michigan and Chris Perkins of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, interviewing the biggest names and tackling the subjects you want to hear about only on Jackalope Radio. They're not your average family, but I guess that's what makes them fun. Here is Chris and Tim.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to TAPS Family Radio. Here we are on another Tuesday evening. We're back with you, Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins, and good evening to all. And Chris, good evening to you. And I was sorry I missed the show 2 weeks ago, but I had a chance to go back and listen on our awesome podcast, and what a great show that was. I'm sorry I couldn't be a part of that with you.
Oh, hey, Tim. Well, you know, we always miss you. We always do. We just seem to roll really well when everybody's here, but I sure appreciated our two guest hosts last week. We had Larry, our booking and promotions guy, and we had Tom Daniels, and they just jumped right in and helped me out and pulled me through. So, but welcome back. We're glad you're here.
Yes. Yeah, it's great to be here. Very cool. So, how are things down in your corner of the world? Weather-wise, everything good? I know it's summertime, but not a lot of places have been having luck this summer. You guys okay over there?
We're roasting.
Are you?
We're roasting. No. But I can't complain. I'm on my way out of state this week. I'm headed up for our TAPS family shindig, and really excited about that, but nervous because it's supposed to rain. It's only going to be in the 70s. Yes, it's predicted to rain. But, you know, we're going to have a good time anyway. We're going to have, you know, 80 to 100 of our TAPS family people together. And when you get us together, it can rain all at once. We're going to have a great time.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool. Which, by the way, when I first came on, I was talking about how I was able to go back and listen to our podcast of our show. Anyone can do that. It's open to anyone. All you got to do is go to our website at tapsfamilyradio.net. That's tapsfamilyradio.net. While you're there, you can find all of our podcasts from all of our back shows. Click on them and listen. Or if that you're trying to find us live and you want to listen live in the future, you can also find our show player, our radio player, right there on the main page, which goes links right into Jackalope Radio, which is the home of TAPS Family Radio. So join us every live show at tapsfamilyradio.net, because while you're in there too, all you got to do is click on the link that says chat, and when you do that, that'll bring you right to our live chat room, which allows you then to also ask any questions of myself or Chris or any of our great guests that we have on throughout the show. So real easy, real simple, and real interactive. That's what we always wanted, to make sure we had a show that was interactive for the listeners, and we think we're there, so we're real happy about that.
Sure are.
All right, so let's get into the little section that I love. I always love to start off the show with some strange news, and what do you got for us, Sarah? Would you like to start, ladies first?
Sure, let's
go. Okay, let's do it. All right.
Yeah, this story I thought was very cool. Well, let's just go.
Okay.
The title of the story says "Incredible Human Battery Sets World Record," and that's what this guy is. Apparently, this gentleman, and I will destroy his name. I know I will. Slavisa Pajim. I can't do it. Anyway,
he's Russian.
Yes,
right?
He is. Oh. He's Russian. Apparently, as he was growing up, he was working on an electrical fence, and a thunderstorm rolled in and struck him with lightning. And we're having a few technical issues back there. Hopefully, this will work out. But anyway, he was struck with lightning, and everybody that was watching expected the worst. And apparently, he just continued on like nothing happened. He had no ill effects whatsoever. He just kept working on the fence, and they said sparks were even flying off of him, and he just just acted like it was no big deal.
Oh my.
So since then, he's stopped doing all the fence work, and obviously he's got another way to make money. And what he does is he travels around and kind of shows off what he can do. And so he does things like he lights flammable materials off of his head and his body, or he touches things together to make them spark, just his bare hands, and puts them together. He can boil water using nothing but a fork and a battery and some with the electricity that goes through his body.
Wow.
And so he has set this new world record with that, obviously. I mean, I don't know of anybody else that can do that, but apparently there is competitive electrical conduction. and it was all supervised by medical staff, but he was able to, within seconds, boil 500 milliliters of water just by using the electricity in his body.
I so want this guy at a party. I mean, seriously, this guy would be the ultimate at a party.
I mean, can you imagine 4th of July? You hand him a firework. I mean, well, I meant that might not be safe. It would just blow up right in his hands. But, you know, interesting thing. And it makes you wonder, what is it about his body that allowed him to withstand that incredible jolt of lightning like nothing happened and just continue on?
Well, yeah. And how can he still why is that not if he can generate that much heat, that much electricity, why is it not hurting the insides of his body? I don't understand that part of it.
I don't either. How is it not melting his organs?
What
is, you know, we really need to look into this guy and find out what it is. You know, maybe we can all be that way one day. Modern medicine, who knows? You know, he's got some kind of Teflon coating in there. Something is
going on. He might be the start of like a modern day superhero. Like if he can just learn how to use these as powers, he could be like a superhero. Well, when we say the word dinosaurs, obviously we think of huge monsters, right? You know, Steven Spielberg brought them to life in the Jurassic Park movies. And so we think big animals.
Right.
Well, apparently paleontologists working in the UK have unearthed what may be the world's smallest known non-avian dinosaur.
Oh.
They have nicknamed him Ashdown Manorapatorin. See, if you got to destroy a name, so did I. The dinosaur measures about a foot in length and weighed just 7 ounces.
Aww, a cute dinosaur.
Yes, and technically the world's smallest dinosaurs. And apparently there's still a breed of them still living today from the family gene. And they are a form of a hummingbird.
Okay. A form
yes.
of what?
Form of a hummingbird. So.
A form of a hummingbird. And they're actually like prehistoric?
The current honeybirds or hummingbirds are a descendant, our ancestors of these original dinosaurs, they say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's cute and it's tiny, put it on eBay. The girls will just all, you know, it's like the puppy dog purses or the you know, dogs you carry around in your purse. We'll all have a dinosaur, you know.
Exactly. Throw one in Paris Hilton's purse and everyone will have one by the next day.
Yeah, you're right. It'll have to be blinged out, though. You know, there'll be a whole line of new dinosaur clothing. And
I like where we're going with this. I think we can. I think we can make some money off this. You ready to work it? We just got to go. I think he's over in. Let me. I just moved the article. I think he's over in Australia, though. We'd have to go for a ride and find one.
Well, you know, we keep saying Jay and Grant need to send us on these trips to do this show correctly. I think that could be our first one.
All right. We're in. You talk to him. You'll be seeing him at the weekend getaway, so you ask him about it. Right?
I will. And when they stop laughing, I'll let you know what they say.
Very good. Very good. Anything else on your end?
Well, I did have one other story, and it's something that, you know, we've touched on before, but it was just something I thought we should throw back out there for people to keep in mind, since we do direct, you know, kind of our topics all towards paranormal investigating and things like that. There was a story out there in the Huffington Post about high coffee intake causing auditory hallucinations. And, you know, as investigators and we're up all night, what are we doing? We're drinking coffee. Or we're drinking energy drinks, or we've got Mountain Dew, that the Blue Mountain Dew. Man, that stuff is great. But the study was based around 5 cups. I don't know why they chose 5, but they said 5 on your 5th cup of coffee, that dramatically increases your chance of having auditory hallucinations. And so they did a study at this La Trobe University in Australia where they had 90 people listening on headphones and told them that they'd be hearing Bing Crosby's White Christmas, and then they never really played it. So they had the people that had had 5 cups of coffee were buzzing in 3 times higher than the people who hadn't had any coffee or who were low caffeinated. And really, in reality, they'd never even played the song. So, you know, they said that this is not the first study. There was one done in 2009 where they just did 3 cups of coffee, and even with just 3 cups of coffee, they had results that showed people were 3 times more likely to hear things that weren't there. So, you know, the paranormal community needs to get their rest and maybe not have our coffee when we're out investigating, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, how are we going to do that?
Oh, Lordy, that's a tough one. All right. Start working on that. Real quick here, too. This is one I came across that I don't know about it so much strange because they're not really telling us what they think the cause was, but I found this interesting. A new study from King Tut's tomb, found that there are little microbes within some of the paintings. And at first they thought maybe it was, these were new microbes, that there was something forming inside the tomb. Well, when they did a study on them, they actually found that these microbes have been dead for a very long time. So they have concluded from the study that for some reason, the boy king's tomb was sealed up very hastily, very quickly, before the paint even had a chance to dry from these pictures, the hieroglyphics that you see painted in these tombs. Before it was even dried, it was sealed. And then it started to react over all these years with some of the incense and the foods and the stuff that are put in these tombs. And these microbes lived off those for a while, but they're now dead. So they're not really saying... They just say they find it kind of weird that for whatever reason, his tube had to be sealed up so quickly.
That is weird. I have not heard anything about that story. That's pretty interesting. So they sealed it up like in a hurry.
Yes, very quickly, they said. Usually, the process to put together these tombs, they say, is very long, and they want everything perfect for the kings before they lay them in there. And they said, for whatever reason, his was done very quickly, put in it, sealed up before the paint ever had a chance to dry. And they said they've never seen this in any other tomb. So, weird in itself.
Yes, yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. All right, well, there we go. A little bit of weird news for you. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from Taps Family Radio, of course, our home on Jackalope Radio, we are going to be introducing, again, we're stretching out across the globe, across the seas for our Taps Family segment today. We are going international. I love the fact that the Taps Family is international and it reaches so far around the world. We are going to Ireland tonight. So when we come back, we have got our Taps Family segment with Taps Family Radio here on Jackalope Radio.
The Taps family is truly international. If you live in the peninsula of Fife on the eastern border of Scotland and feel you may have a haunting, there's help. Scottish Paranormal, a proud Taps family member, is a scientific-based paranormal research team that is dedicated to the study of the unknown. Helping individuals, families, and business owners over the past 6 years, Scottish Paranormal is ready to help you. Their work is confidential and no charge for service will ever be asked of their clients. If you feel you need the help of Scottish Paranormal, then go to their website at www.scottish-paranormal.com. co.uk.
South Coast Paranormal Tours. Dare to explore the unknown.
South Coast Paranormal Tours invites you to explore the haunted decks of the Star of India. We'll show you the paranormal hotspots, then we turn off the lights and let you be a part of your very own paranormal investigation.
Visit us online at scparanormaltours.com.
South Coast Paranormal Tours. Dare to explore the unknown.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Taps Family Radio Tuesday evening. Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you. This is TFR on our home Jackalope Radio. And, of course, you can find us at tapsfamilyradio.net. come on in there and you can find all of our podcasts. And if you care to join us live in our shows, you can also find us in the chat room. And it's a great place to ask any questions that you may have. And as a matter of fact, you might have some questions for the gentleman who's going to be joining us right now as part of our Taps Family segment. Chris, I'll let you introduce this guy. I know you know him pretty well.
I do. One of my favorite people in the paranormal. We've worked together through Taps Family for quite a while. And he is overseas in Ireland, one of my favorite countries. This just can't get any better. We've got Danny Carthy with us tonight. Danny, you here with us?
How you doing, gang? How are you?
Hey, Danny.
Hi, Tim.
Welcome, man. It's been a long time. I've had a chance to talk to you a while ago, but it's been a while, so I was really excited when I heard that they had got you lined up to be part of the Taps Family segment here.
Yeah, it's an honor.
So your team over there in Ireland, what's the Leinster Paranormal, is that correct?
Leinster Paranormal, yeah. It was formed in 2004 by myself and your good producer there, Cormac. We've been running a long time now. We've kind of seen and done everything now at this stage, which is, it's so funny because we were only talking about the other day, like we started off as a team and help people and the whole Japan. We've done the TV, the radio.
Yeah.
We've done the book.
Right. Know, so. And we will definitely talk about the book here coming up because I think that's so cool. Now, in 2004, because that was right at the time of the start of Ghost Hunters and Taps becoming huge here in the States. I don't think it had started there in Ireland yet, had it? What made you guys in 2004 want to do something that at that time probably was not mainstream or the, quote, cool thing to do?
Well, it was funny. It was near the end of 2005 when we actually even had a clue what Ghost Hunters were. At that time, a lot of the teams over here wasn't really web-based. It was a lot of communication through phone and letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it just bloomed. It's gone. You could nearly say Ireland has gone as bad as America. There's a paranormal team on every corner now at this stage.
No, you're not kidding. Exactly.
Years, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, whose idea was it then? I mean, again, because it wasn't so mainstream at the time, was this just something that you and Cormac both kind of had a liking to, and you thought, hey, let's try this?
Well, you see, I was doing things from early 90s on and off with different people, you know, and when we went through the years, I moved down to a place called Carlo. Most of the listeners will know Carlo is where Destination Truth done their Halloween live special.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the castles out there, and about 20 minutes from where I am now. What happened was Cormac had a thing up that he was looking. He had a web domain for Leinster Paranormal, and there was actually no team. So after about 150 emails, what's the story? We get this running. We can do this. You know, there's no team down in Carlo. There's no team down this side of the country. And then. He basically, we got in contact by phone. We had a meeting. I put the team together, and it just blossomed from there. And it's been there, you know,
for a while now. Yeah,
since it's gone a long time now.
Well, that's cool. And so you guys have been going along since 2004. At what point? Or 2005, at what point did you guys realize and start to hear about this TV show called Ghost Hunters? And you thought, you know, yeah, these guys kind of, they're doing what we're doing. This is cool. Well, how long did it take?
It was actually Cormac that brought it to my attention. Because Cormac being the internet whiz kid, the web whiz kid. Cormac came across these videos and started trying to, you know, you're saying, have a look at this and have a look at that. And, you know, we were watching bits of it on YouTube, and it was quite good. You know, and it was kind of, you know, similar to what we were doing. And anyway, you know, that way, like, okay, we learned a few tricks, but, like, you know, you move on, and that's what it's all about. It was great that, you know, the guys were sharing what they came across and what equipment they use, and it gave other people a chance to try it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was what it's all about in the field. You know, share whatever you come across and help each other or whatever.
You got it.
And then it just blossomed from there, you know.
And what year did you guys find out about this TAPS family, you know, group, and you applied? When did you become a member?
That's actually a funny story, because Cormac said to me, we should get involved with the TAPS family thing, and I never heard what a TAPS family was. I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was a fan club, and that's being honest with you. I didn't know what it meant. I was expecting to see, like, you'd have one page for TAPS and one page for Batman. You know. But then what happened was, Cormac sent away the application, and of course I tormented poor Jay Porter for about 6 weeks nonstop, 7 days a week, to find out what was going on. And then eventually we were accepted in it, and when we were accepted in it, then I realised what it was about. You have the TAPS family haters out there. You have, you know, people that hate other groups and all, but TAPS family is one of the most amazing things I've ever been a part of. I had the privilege to be TAPS family international liaison for 2.5 years. Cormac looks after that, which is great. He's doing a great job. It's the amount of knowledge and the wisdom that's being shared between teams, and especially the likes of, you know, if teams have a problem with clients and they look for information, you know, they wouldn't know what way to maybe approach the client. But we're all there to kind of actually get on board and, you know, help each other out and work out, you know, interview techniques and, you know, all that efforts. And, TAPS family is absolutely amazing. It's always been brilliant, and it's always something that I have a very strong place in my heart anyway.
Well, Danny, you know, I'm glad you actually said something that we haven't touched on in a while, and that's that a lot of people don't really understand what TAPS family is, and they do think it's a fan club. And, you know, there are some similarly structured groups out there that are based as fan clubs, and that's fantastic. It gives those just enthusiasts a place to go, too. So I'm glad you touched on that, because we are very, I think it's okay to say proud. We're very proud of what we have here. And the people that are involved with TAPS family, as you said, just fall in love with it and understand it for what it is. And it does give us a place to network with people with like minds. And And the fact that one of the things I appreciated immediately when I became involved with TAPS family was the fact that that network is global. You know, you were one of the first people internationally that I started kind of interacting with through TAPS family. And once I got over the fact that you were completely insane, you know, I really appreciated the chance to do that. You know, we just don't really have that anywhere else the way that we've got it with TAPS family. And of course, you've been one of the most dedicated members that I've seen, and you've just been working so hard. And then to have Cormac come in and be just as dedicated and as hardworking as you are, it was such a blessing to have you as TAPS family, you know, as one of our strong teams there. It's been terrific. Hopefully, you know, we have our upcoming TAPS family reunion, and I would love to see something like that over there so that we can actually come over, meet face to face, and see those great places you've got over there. I'm so jealous. That's one thing that I've never gotten over, that little bit of jealousy I have. Okay, that massive amount of jealousy I have for the places that you have over there that you can investigate. You've got some fascinating places.
Well, I told you before, Chris, and we've often had this conversation about you know, you're coming over to Ireland. I promised you that I would bring you to where your father's roots were. You know, there are some great locations, but it's getting harder and harder to investigate these places because of all these new jumped up little teams that have professional ghost hunters that are, you know, what they're learning about most teams forget about. You know, right. And they're going around going into these places, and it's ruining it for everybody else. You know, it's like over there. You know, you have one team on another team's back trying to get into places, and it's getting cutthroat now. You know, and it is hard. But you know, as we say, we just keep plodding along. You know, as I say, TAPS family members and TAPS family and TAPS, like, it's just got professionalism in the field, and it's shown professionalism, and most of it's common sense. But you always get the jumped up little places that, you know, think that, you know, they're in the field years because they have a photo of an orb, or, you know, their granny's camera strap was taken in the 70s, you know. So, like, it's getting harder and harder. But there are still places that, you know, Mr. Paranormal is pretty well in contact with. And, you know, thank God they treat us with the respect that we treat them, you know, which is, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, the best thing to do.
Well, I think, you know, that is one thing that we can say is a global issue now. I hear that from just about every TAPS family team. I think, you know, Tim, you would agree that most of them are saying these teams that pop up that aren't necessarily focused in the way that we see our teams as. And those are the ones that I say, you know, they're enthusiast teams, and that's great. I'm not knocking that because I think everybody has a certain level of curiosity. But I think as long as teams like yours and the other TAPS family teams, and then even awesome teams that aren't in the TAPS family, we do need to say that there are some incredible teams out there that are not in TAPS family simply because we have coverage in their area, or they don't have the interest in applying, which is great too. There are some fantastic non-TAPS family teams out there. But those enthusiast teams, you know, have their place too. And I think as long as the good teams keep providing those good models, then maybe those teams will, you know, I've always said just kind of delineate. People will say, okay, well, they're not really in this for the research. They're in this for the thrill, and that's okay too. But these teams over here really mean what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
I do indeed. I do indeed. And it's just, you know yourself, Chris and Tim, it's 9 times out of 10, it's all common sense, you know. It's just, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. It doesn't cost anything to have manners.
That's true.
You know, so, like, unfortunately, there are some people out there that just can't, you know, as we say over here, sharper than marble.
Yeah. Where I do get worried, though, and I agree with you, Chris, there's nothing wrong with being just an enthusiast team who wants to go out there and get the thrill. Where it does worry me, and I know it does you guys too, is when these teams go into homes and actually try to give advice to families, and sometimes not always the correct advice.
Well, you know, I think one of the things I would encourage teams to do, if I can just kind of get on my soapbox for a minute, about that very thing, because I'm approached a lot about how to form a team. And I think people need to do that gut check with themselves before they ever put a team together and ask themselves, am I in this to help people, or am I in this because I want to have that excitement and that rush? And just be honest, because there's no fault in just wanting that rush and that excitement and that,
nope,
you know,
not
that,
at all.
That's fine. But do that internal gut check and say, you know, do I, A, have the experience, B, the knowledge, you know, C, the just the know-how, how to operate a team to go help people, because you can do a whole lot of damage if you don't.
Right.
Just got to do that gut check.
And to just kind of add on to that, too, if you are going to go to that extra level and go to the extent that TAPS family teams do, and this is just my personal opinion because it's something I made sure my team did, and if anyone else can do it, if you have the resource, if you have the access to bring someone along on your team, they don't necessarily have to be a field director or a field investigator, but at least part of your team, someone who has some form of psychological degree or background to help you with these families. I think that is very important if you have the opportunity to do that. Not everyone does, I understand that, but if you do, I highly recommend having someone like that along with the team, or at least your team has access to them.
I agree with you on that 100%. Even if they don't ever have direct client contact, they can certainly guide your team.
Exactly. Yes, so
absolutely.
True.
Absolutely.
Now, Danny, I got a question for you. What are your thoughts? I think you know where I'm going with this. Maybe it's because you're one yourself.
I've often suspected that.
Thoughts on mediums using them in the field, and just your thoughts on? And again, you know, this is not in disrespect. Whatever your answer is going to be, to people who claim to be and have the ability of mediums, but what is your thought on them?
Look, at the end of the day, like, we don't use them. I don't believe in them. If someone says they have a gift and I can help a client or help an investigation, so be it, but it won't be helping me. Just put that. I don't go on feelings or, you know, or I was touched, I was slapped, or, you know, Mary is over there in the corner waving back. We just all wave. I just can't handle that. We've been down that road. There's the paranormal, and I know it's just after 5 p.m. over there, and I'm trying to keep this as G-rated as I can. I just, you know, I don't believe in them. I don't use them. We don't use them. So I'm just, you know, next question.
I love it. Very diplomatic. You ever thought of running for as a politician over there in Ireland?
Well, in knowing Danny as well as I do, you have no idea how well he was holding back there. I mean, that was great.
I could tell he was, Danny. I could tell you were. You probably have blood on your tongue right now from biting it so hard.
I've just bit the back of my tongue.
If you're just joining us right now, Danny Carthy is our guest as part of our Taps Family segment from Leinster Paranormal in Ireland, the beautiful land of Ireland. And it is an honor, it is a pleasure to have you on with us, Danny. And also, Danny is a teammate on the same team with our awesome producer, Cormac Strain. And we were going to have Cormac on with us, but with some technical issues, all the juice that's in his house is running the show, so he couldn't plug in a mic, or I think he'd take us off. So he has decided to run the show instead. So we appreciate that, Cormac, for having us on and running. Danny, here's your chance now. Cormac can't come on the air. What's it like to work with him? You can spill all the beans you want.
Well, I have to say, you know, he's going to slap me for this now when he sees me. Because, you know, I've been saying this for years, you know. He's like a brother to me. I love him to bits. He's one of the best persons in the field I've ever came across. His enthusiasm, his passion for the field.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, if I was ever to get asked, would you go into that dark, scary place that no one ever went to? And I was a little bit scared, which I never would be. But if I was, I know that I'd be safe enough on Cormac's hands.
Nice. Wow. Very nice. Yeah. And you guys do a little something on the side, and I know this because I'm friends with both you and Cormac Facebook. When you guys aren't chasing ghosts, you guys are rocking out. You guys are quite the musicians, both of you, aren't you?
Well, I full-time musician is the day job, as we say. I'm working on an album at the moment. I'm actually recording tomorrow. I know 15 shows. Christmas, I know it's far away, but Christmas was 15 nights after being sold out.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You're a busy guy. This I know.
With gigs and on the road and the team and the whole shebang, so...
I used to tease Danny and say that, you know, every other week, whether he needed it or not, he needed to schedule a 30-minute nap. Just, you know, maybe squeeze a nap in every other week because he is so busy. In fact, one of the other projects, which, you know, I'm really excited because I remember hearing about this in its infancy. And so it's really excited to see it finally coming to fruition. One of your newest projects together is you are now published authors. Is that correct?
Yay!
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster weekend. Just it's been one of those crazy weekends that, you know, we saw Cormac still in the hype. We were approached by a company called History Press Ireland, and we were asked would we be interested in writing a book about Haunted Carlow. You know, and of course, me and Cormac were looking at each other, and you know, we're lucky we can even spell our names sometimes. You know? And I'm saying, what in the name of Jays am I going to write on a book about Haunted Carlow? So, after Cormac, you know, kind of persuading me as he does, we decided to put the feelers out on people's stories from the town. And like, Carlow's a very small town, you know, and it was very hard to get kind of the stories together. So what we done was we went on local radio stations and local papers and put the ads in the papers, and all of a sudden we got this overwhelming response of people that have actually had their own paranormal experiences. And the most exciting thing about when we were writing the book is there was no teams to help these people. And that was the, you know, that's the thing that kind of makes me, you know, feel a little bit sorry for these people, that way back then there was no teams to help. There was no mediums. There was nothing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, back in those days, and it seems like those are the classic stories too. I mean, stories that make a great book like Haunted Carlow come to life and something enjoyable for the readers.
Well, when we put all this, like most of the stories are modern in it, but some of the stories are from the early 30s, 20s.
Okay, yeah.
Going right back, you know, but some, you know, when we actually sit down, we were actually talking to these people face to face, and, you know, some of them never told their kids or their brothers or sisters what actually happened to them. They just felt to get it off their chest to talk to us. And what happened then was, in the book, we promised them we wouldn't use their names, because there's little areas in the book that, you know, you could have, like, I could turn around and say Kristen Sullivan Moore, you know, Oklahoma, and people would know who she is straight away. And we didn't want to put that in a town so small that they turn around and say, oh God, your man up the road is after having a paranormal, we should stay away from him. You know, they didn't want to be kind of dragged out.
Sure.
So we changed the names and still kept the stories the same. And, you know, we had the launch there. The book was finished there last February, and we had our book launch last Saturday.
Yeah, and I saw the pictures on Facebook. You guys had Dr. Kieran O'Keefe there as well as part of the official launch. And now, for all of our listeners, Haunted Carlo, again, authored by Danny Carthy, who's on with us right now, and our own producer, Cormac Strain. And I believe the foreword or the intro is written by Kieran O'Keefe as well. Is that right?
That's right. Kieran, Cormac approached Kieran, and he wrote the foreword. On the night of the launch, Barry Fitzgerald was there.
Yeah, that's right. I saw Barry in the pictures too, yep.
It was great to actually get the points that they owed me on the launch, because the first thing I said is, look, I've been hounding you for years, you've been hounding me, and the deal was a point. So they bought me a pint of Guinness and brought Cormac a pint, so they're all in the clear till next time. It was a great night. Barry done a lovely speech about myself, Cormac, and the book, and, you know, he's been spamming it on his Facebook, and Kieran the same. Poor Kieran, I think he went home with a liver, like a pool table, green with holes.
Oh, no.
He was in a bad way, but he was great. You know, the guys couldn't do enough for us. You know, they really, really helped us get it out there, and, you know, even the night of the lunch, God, it was just, I had a lump in my throat, and, like, even though these celebs were there, and, you know, these guys were there promoting the book, I have to give credit where credit is due. Cormac, you know, me bro, as I call him, you know, he was absolutely amazing. He had a great night. Everything went smooth, and like, you know, the book is out there now, so we don't know what Lens the Paranormal is going to do now. Well, we do, but I don't know. Cormac, are we allowed to say what's coming next?
Oh, breaking news.
Okay.
You got the green light. Let's go. Let's hear this.
Well, Haunted Carlo is actually part one of three books.
Oh, how neat.
Beautiful.
You heard it here first.
Cormac is actually working on Haunted Kildare. And I'm working on Haunted Kilkenny.
Very nice. Wow.
So I hope to have the two books out this time next year.
Now, are these locations very close to Carlo? Are we all kind of in the same area here of Ireland?
We're all in the same area. It's basically 40 minutes each way of Carlo.
Okay.
I have the contract and all done, so we've only just write the book. Well, it's in the process of being written. It's most of the research is there. We just have to kind of pen it all together.
When you had celebrities like, you know, Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International and Dr. Kieran O'Keefe from Most Haunted, and of course all that he does to launch your first book, I don't know how you guys are going to top that for 2 and 3, but I know you'll find a way. And I just want to say too that for anyone who is interested in getting Haunted Carlo by Cormac Strain and Danny Carthy, I just punched it up, and this is in the States now. This is at Amazon.com for the low, low price, the affordable price of $16.38. You can get the brand new Haunted Carlo by Cormac and Danny right now. So it's there on Amazon.
Yeah, definitely got to get it. I'm excited about it because, you know how badly I want to go over there and do this stuff. But I can't really just jump up and go. But this book will give us kind of your insight into those neat places. So I'm excited.
Well, just there's loads of photographs and, you know, stories, and, you know, it's an amazing book. I think maybe for the Haunted Kilkenny or the Haunted Kildare, why do we need these people? We get you over, Chris, and you can promote for us.
You will definitely do it. I see airline tickets in our future.
So, Cormac, I will ask you right now, because I'll give you time to type it out and think about it. But, Danny, I want you to answer first. In Haunted Carlo, there's got to be a favorite chapter, a favorite story that you guys each have. So, Cormac, you can type it out, and we'll share your answer. But, Danny, you can go first. What was your favorite chapter in the new book?
Carlo Jail.
Carlo Jail?
It's one of these places. We were the very first team in Ireland to investigate it. And no other teams are actually allowed in there, only against the paranormal. And it's one of those places that when you go in and do it, you come out, you catch something, and you try and walk it out. And when you go back in again, you're coming back out scratching your head. It's just one of those places. The governor's, it's actually a shopping centre now, but they left the governor's house in the middle. And there's actually a restaurant there, and that's where most of the activity was being reported, in the restaurant. It goes way back. It was a jail. It became a metal factory, and then now it's a shopping centre. But even to go in, you're looking at it, and it's so weird that this old building is standing in the middle of a shopping centre. And there's bakes and wells and all underneath, and people are walking around don't even realise the history that they're walking by, and people that died and was hanged, and you know, and it's just, that's part and parcel of the book, was to put these places on the map to show people that, you know, these places aren't too far from where you live, and it is nice to actually go down and have a look at these places. Like, there's a good bit of history in the book about these places, and, you know, the stories over the years, and there's even a small bit about an investigation that was done in the jail in the book. Mm-hmm. It's up to the people. I won't give too much away. Let the people read it.
yeah, exactly. Don't give us if you're going to give a spoiler alert here. Cormac says the same. He says, I'd agree. Now, see if you can expound on this a little bit, Danny. Cormac says, I would agree, though I'd go for when it was Thompson's and your man was hearing stuff in the 80s. There was two different chapters on it, past and present. Can you kind of clear that up a bit and talk on that a little?
Well, Thompson's was like a factory in the town. It was when the jail closed down, Thompson's bought the premises and turned it into a factory. Okay. People actually worked there on the night shift, actually had things happening to them, experiences, and then it just closed down, and then the local council bought it over and turned it into a shopping centre. But unfortunately, the experiences didn't go away. The people in the new shopping centre were actually having the same things happen to them as what was happening in the early 80s. So this is, you know, this is why we were brought in, and, you know, it's just one of those places. Like, I've investigated a lot of places over the years, but it's just one of those places that would just have you dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go in and you come out scratching your head.
How long did you guys work on this book? How long did it take to interview all these people, sit down, write the chapters, send it to the editor, back for corrections? What was the whole process?
About 14 months.
14?
14 months, yeah.
Okay.
So with the new books, you've got this down. You know, it's not going to take that long with these new books. You said they'll be out next year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. Wow.
Hey, Chris. You know me, I'd have it all together.
Well, you know, it helps when you never sleep. I mean, you just don't. So I was convinced of that. I still am. Absolutely 100% convinced of that. So let me ask you this, Danny. With the books being specific about different locations, do you have any fear at all that that's going to, like, really start attracting people to those specific locations? I know, you know, we've seen it before, you know, the TAPS effect, how they, you know, every location they have then becomes just flooded with these teams. Is that a concern of yours at all, or do you address that in your book in any way?
It's not really, because we didn't give contact details, and a lot of the contact details we'd have, no one would actually give it out in these places. Some of them are private owned, so they just don't allow it in. But, you know, over the years, and we Bless the Paranormal has gained the trust of many, many people in the town. And it's just, you know, if people out there want to contact these places for a visit, yeah, maybe. But as an investigation, they won't let anybody else in, I know that for a fact.
So this truly is a sneak peek into places that we would likely never get into even if we were there. That's something people really need to appreciate when they're considering whether or not to get this book. They're going to see and hear about things that they are not going to get that chance to regardless. That's great. Wow. Good job, guys.
Yeah. So, and also, too, apparently there's a website just for the book, to hauntedcarlo.com. So, probably gives a little more insight into the book. And so, if you want to go there instead of going to Amazon, check it out at hauntedcarlo.com as well.
Brilliant.
So, what is on the horizon for Danny and Cormac? What, obviously, we know about the new books, but I mean, more going back to your team, your Taps family team, what's on the horizon for you guys?
Well, the team is stretched out. There's a lot of cases coming in. Just the team is stretched out between Dublin and Carlow, and there's cases in Dublin we're working on, and we're working on cases in Carlow. So that's kind of keeping us busy. To be honest with you, I don't know where me and Carmen actually find the time.
I don't know either.
But like, it's there. The team's still going strong. You know, lensparanormal.com is the website. It's all about the book. You can view the team members. You can contact team members. There's nobody there. And, you know, team's going from strength to strength. And going back to what we were saying earlier on, like, these new teams coming up and, you know, ruining it for everybody else, them teams don't last long.
No,
and it's the
you're
teams
right.
That last long, they're the teams, you know, that are doing something right. And Lens the Paranormal is one of them, as well as Taps Family.
Well, and you know, I would encourage people who are listening that are over there and thinking about putting one of those teams together to check your site out instead, you know, and really see, because you are a quality group, how much work it takes and to even contact you before they actually go through with that and talk to you about that. You're very level-headed. Your team is very well organized. And I think, you know, a new team really couldn't go wrong in consulting with you first.
Well, we're always open to new teams coming to talk to us. In the past, myself and Carmen has actually trained and mentored new teams. Coming up, we'd go out on investigation, we'd invite them along to investigation, we'd bring them to private investigations as an observer, and just to tell them exactly what way it works. You know, and these teams are out there now, and they're doing the job, they're doing the proud, that they're not doing any harm to me and Cormac. They're out there doing exactly what we say, and if they have a problem, they're never afraid to ask, and that's all it is. It's only a question. It's either yes or no.
It really is so simple, isn't it? But yet,
yeah,
for some reason, people make it so difficult sometimes, but you're right, it's just common sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, very good. Well, Danny, thank you so much for taking time to be with us tonight, my friend. It's good to get you on the show.
It's been a pleasure. It was great talking to you, Tim and Kristen. I haven't spoken to you in ages. I love you to bits.
I know. You take care. It was good, and it better not be so long next time, Danny.
I know. I just get this all this work out of the way.
I know.
Yeah, music stuff and Cormac breaking my heart as usual. You know, I'll see you all soon, and good luck to the radio show. It's brilliant. And good luck to everybody in the chat room.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks.
And
Danny.
Go get you a 30-minute nap that Chris says you need.
Let me a Margot and slam.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Danny. There we go. Danny Carthy from Lancer Paranormal, of course, teamed up with our own Cormac Strain, who is behind the scenes always working his magic here. It's great to get in touch with Danny. Glad you guys booked him for the show.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, very good. Again, go to hold on here, I'm trying to find my notes. I apologize. We get so much going on here. If you want, the hauntedcarlo.com is where you can go to read up on their book, Cormac's and Danny's book, brand new, just launched this past weekend. Or if you punch it into Amazon, you can find it there. And like I said, in the States, at least, you can get it for $16.38. Brand new book, Haunted Carlo. Check it out. All right, we are going to take a quick break here on Taps Family Radio, our new home here on Jackalope Radio. Again, you can find us at tapsfamilyradio.net. And if you have any questions for anyone throughout the evening, that is the place to do it. We'll be back in a short break right here. It's TFR.
lot of rocking going on that night. Cruising time for the young bright lights. Just down past the gas rush by the meat factory door, the Five Lamb boys were coming on strong. The Saturday night city beat had already started, and the pulse of the corner boy just sprang into action. And young Billy watching in the yellow street light, he said, tonight I'm all night.
It's gonna be a blight night.
Billy don't like it living here in this town,
he said.
Traps have been sprung long before he was born,
he said.
Whole bags of dust behind all the closed doors, and pus and grime ooze from its scat-busted sword.
Screaming and crying in the high-rise block, it's a rat trap, Billy, but you're already caught.
Hey, you can make it if you wanna, or you need it bad enough.
You're young and good-looking and you're acting kinda dirty. Way it's Saturday night time to see what's going down. Put on the right suit, head for the right side of town. It's only 8 o'clock, but you're already bored. You don't know what it is, but there's gotta be more. You better find a way out. Hey, kick down that door. It's a rat trap, and you've been caught.
Commercials, and we deliver. Jackalope Radio.
When you hear strange noises in the night, when unexplained shadows move through the halls, when you feel there's nowhere you can turn, we're here to help. The Southern Paranormal and Anomaly Research Society. We're a proud TAPS family member with chapters in Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina. Our dedicated team of investigators is ready to assist you. With professionalism and the utmost discretion, we'll help you understand what you've been experiencing. The Southern Paranormal and Anomaly Research Society. Because at times like this, you don't simply need proof. You need answers. For more information, visit us on the web at www.spars-paranormal.com.
When you need to know what goes bump in the night, contact the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, serving the entire state of Wisconsin. Investigations are free of charge and completely confidential. You'll receive objective, scientific analysis of the activity in your home. The goal is to provide you with a rational explanation for what you're seeing or hearing. The Wausau Paranormal Research Society, where the paranormal and reality meet. To schedule an investigation, visit WPRS.net.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Taps Family Radio. Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you on this Tuesday evening. And we are at just about 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so you can go on through the time zones from there and figure out where you should be and what time it is. And if you're listening to us live right now through Jackalope Radio or at TapsFamilyRadio.net, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope you'll join us in the chat room as well, because in there you can ask any questions you might have for our upcoming guests this evening. Very excited to be welcoming to the show a lady who I guarantee when you read up about her and read up on her her bio, very impressive bio, and looking forward to reading her book, which she has out called Paranormal Obsessions, America's Fascination with Ghosts, Haunting, Spooks, and Spirits. We would like to welcome to Taps Family Radio, Deanna Kelly Saeed. Deanna, welcome. Good evening. Thanks for being here tonight.
Good evening to the two of you, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
It's our pleasure, our honor. Also want to make a mention here, too, that you are also part of Taps Family team as well. Is that correct?
That's right. I am a proud Taps Family member with Haunted North Carolina.
Yay.
Great things from Taps Family tonight. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, very good. How long have you been part of that Taps Family team?
I've been with Agency for about 2 years, but before I was with Agency, I was with Spars. So I am a Taps Family baby, to be honest with you. I was reared in the Taps Family.
Right from the beginning, eh? Very
That's
good.
That's right.
Very good. So, Deanna, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You've got a book out there, and again, looks very interesting. Cannot wait to get my hands on this one. Paranormal Obsessions, America's Fascination with Ghosts, Haunting, Spooks, and Spirits. Kind of a cultural study, you say. Tell us about this book, and when did you write it, what prompted you to write it, and what did you learn from the process?
Well, the book is actually available for pre-order. It won't be out until September 8th. And what it does is really look at why, I first asked the question, why did America respond to reality TV? Because interestingly, in some of my research, before I ever started writing the book, this concept was starting to float around the entertainment industry before 9/11. But then 9/11 happened, and many production companies felt American society wasn't ready to talk about ghosts right after this horrific event. But then, of course, as we know, in 2004, Ghost Hunters became a phenomenal success. And not only has America responded to it, but the rest of the world is responding to it as well. All sorts of paranormal reality TV programming. And we've seen the growth of paranormal investigation and research. It's more than tripled. It's quadrupled. It's magnified at an amazing rate. And the question is why? Why now? What is it that we are looking for? What does it say about our society? And because I was doing this as an investigator, I had been overseas, and then I came back and started investigating with the Taps Family group, I felt I was in a rather unique position to ask certain questions and to also answer them both as an investigator and as someone who was sort of stepping back and looking at the larger picture.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I got to believe on a subject matter like this, where there's probably not a lot of readily available info until you started looking, you probably learned a ton doing this book.
I did. I had a an interesting time. It was great to learn how to put a book together. This is my first book, and it's a lot of work. Writing is a tremendous amount of work, and I have to give a shout-out to Danny and Cormac, and congrats to them for getting their book out, because I know how much work they probably put into it. But I had the wonderful opportunity of talking to so many investigators around the world, Danny being one of them, but also so many people here in the U.S. I talked to many, many TAPS family members. I talked to Chris, and I also had the wonderful opportunity to speak to many different cast members on all the shows. And it's nice to pull back this public layer and actually get to know people and to get to know the struggles that they have to go through and the accomplishments, the personal accomplishments that they have to go through. You know as well as I do, a lot of people complain about paranormal reality TV, and some of those complaints are legitimate. But when you're really get to know the people on the TV and a lot of the issues that people have to deal with, it humanizes these struggles, and it opens a whole new door to this media phenomena.
Yeah.
You know, when I first heard about your book, to be honest with you, I was just blown away because it seems like such a simple idea. You know, why are we so fascinated with this? Do you feel like now that you have your book in completion, do you have the answers that you thought you were looking for when you started writing this book?
Well, yes and no. I think part of this journey is that we never really have the answers. It's the journey itself. And even in investigating, many people, and this is something that's very profound, many people who come into this, and most people, if we're honest, have come into this since 2004. Not everybody, but most people. It is a very personally transformative experience. It combines religion, you know, spirituality and religious beliefs, how we view the world, our own identity as people and as individuals. Paranormal investigating and research sort of combines all of this. And because there's a media component, that makes it even more interesting at a larger level. And it obviously also affects how clients perceive what's happening to them. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, every client we deal with knows the lingo. They know how to make things sound really urgent, whereas 10, 15 years ago, that probably wasn't the case. But I don't know if I have the answers, but I think as American society, we are searching for who we are at this point in history. Now, everything is so global, and we have literally conquered the world in so many ways as an American, as a culture. We've even conquered space. The last frontier that humanity really hasn't conquered is this realm of the unknown. And I think there's a lot of profound symbolism in that.
You know, I think you hit the nail right on the head by saying that it is saying something about us as humans, as a race. What do you think it is? Why is it that this is the last big thing we seem to want to tackle, and even today seem to be dragging our feet on it?
There's a couple of different ways to answer that, and one is obviously a metaphysical way. It doesn't necessarily have to do with God, but it could, you know, if that's someone's personal belief. But I think that in many ways, traditional religious institutions have failed, and the rhetoric of religious belief is kind of old and stale, regardless of what you believe. And I don't mean any disrespect to anyone, but many people are finding the way that people in the paranormal community talk about mysterious events and the afterlife and the procedural way in which we approach it gives people a mechanism in which to view their world. And it also is so amazing because it changes the way people view reality. When you have this amazing experience, and I'm sure we've all gone on investigation and experienced something that we can't debunk and that we just cannot explain away, it allows you a peek into how wonderfully complex our world is, and it's not something you get to see every day. And I actually feel sorry for people who don't get to experience that, because there's a whole layer of this creation in which we live that people aren't aware of. And I think having these experiences that transcend the mundane is one thing that gives us a sense of meaning in this world. And I hope I'm not sounding like too intellectual and like New Age and stuff. I hope everyone can follow what I'm saying.
No, I actually think you're saying it very well, and it's, you know, I think it's a very valid point. I think you're saying it very well, so
You know, it's always a delicate issue when you bring up religion, but I think you said something there that's very important. I think that people are finding that their religion doesn't necessarily answer their questions about an afterlife in a satisfactory way. Mm-hmm. And when you said that we approach this methodically, it does give them something to sink their teeth into. And I know that, you know, most religions, well, they are, they're faith-based. You're supposed to accept all of this on faith. And we're such a, we're so technologically advanced, I guess is what I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. that it's hard, I think, for our generation, the generations coming up, maybe the generation prior to ours, to just accept things on faith anymore. We need that tangible proof. And so this, you know, people are looking for that thing they can really sink their teeth into that gives them the proof that they want, that may back their faith. A lot of people think that this will back up what they believe in their chosen faith. Now, what I think is very interesting in your perspective is you are the only that I know of, statewide or stateside anyway, you're Muslim. And mm-hmm. so that gives you, I think, also a unique perspective as well. I don't know. Do you know of any other Muslim investigators in the United States?
I know of a few that are out there, but not in the Taps family that I'm aware of. I could be wrong. But in fact, I know of there's a group in Singapore, which they're all Muslims, and they combine martial arts with their investigation. I'm not really sure how that goes down. Yeah,
that's interesting. I wonder what that's. I'd like to hear more about that.
I would too. It sounds like some sort of high fantasy graphic arts novel. But anyway, so they're out there, but not very prolific. And it's not just my faith, because like most investigators, I don't go out on an investigation trying to promote my particular faith view, but I think I've traveled so much throughout the world, through the Middle East and Africa and Central Asia, that I have a wider scope on how people approach these type of events.
Now, the one thing, Deanna, that I found very interesting on your website, which, by the way, and I know you have said that the website is actually under construction and you're hoping to launch like a brand new one, same web address, but new content very soon here. Mm-hmm. But it is DeannaKellySaeed.com is the website. And on there I was reading and I found it very interesting. And you do talk about, you know, how you are were born a Southern-born Baptist and are now, as an adult, an American Muslim world traveler. But I love what you wrote about the jinn. Mm-hmm. I was very interested on what you wrote about, which seems to be a part of paranormal investigation, at least part of the paranormal world, that seems to slowly, at least here in the States, it seems to be becoming a little bit more popular, catching on and gaining a little bit more steam. But you were saying how actually through your faith and your religion, that actually helped you open up to the jinn. Was I reading that correctly?
What I found when I started asking a lot of questions that we ask in the paranormal, I found how the Quran, which is the holy book in Islam, turned out to be one of the most paranormal-friendly religions in the sense that it acknowledges interdimensional beings called jinn. It does acknowledge different dimensions, where a lot of quantum physicists are now saying that's one possible explanation for some paranormal phenomena, including UFOs and all of that. And it allows for discussion of these events to a degree, whereas many, many people in the Christian faith, or especially in churches, you probably would not hear a sermon dedicated to these things, in a positive way at least, whereas in a mosque you might. So I found that to be very fascinating. And to go through different parts of the Muslim world, through Africa and Central Asia and the Arab world, and see how people deal with this concept of jinn. And admittedly, there's a lot of folklore, a lot of superstition, which makes no sense, probably isn't true at all. But it's interesting to see how people negotiate these type of things within the language of jinn. And I think that was particularly valuable for me to see, kind of an intimate look.
Yeah, and I think you know, I've always kind of had, even for me, and I've, as a child, have loved the paranormal and have read on it as much as I can. But even for me, the djinn is still a branch of it that I haven't really explored yet. I know there's been a couple new books that have come out from some of the bigger big names in the industry as well. But I think you, what I read, the way you explained it the best on your website is probably the best explanation I've heard of what exactly the djinn is. Could you take a little bit, for our listeners who may not be real familiar with what the djinn are, could you explain that in you know, your best way?
Sure, I'll certainly try. I haven't read that article in a while. You may actually be in a better position than I to do so. But the djinn are interdimensional beings, which according to the Quran, they pre-exist humankind. They have free will, meaning they can believe in whatever they want to believe. And according to the Quran, there are djinn who are Muslim or Christian or Jewish or whatever religion they may have. And because they're interdimensional, they do have the ability to go back and forth if they want. Generally, it is thought that only the naughty djinn will come over and interfere with humanity. Folklore, that's what folklore suggests. And there's some debate among Islamic scholars. Most do not believe that djinn can actually possess you, like demonic possession. Most believe that they can't do that. However, throughout the Muslim world, there is a cottage industry of people who do djinn exorcisms. And funnily enough, the symptoms of being possessed by the djinn are very similar to what many people would assume to be demonic possessions. So that's an interesting correlation. In my research, someone wrote a big book about these exorcists, and of course, people assume that djinn most of the time will possess women. I mean, women always get the fuzzy end of the lollipop, it seems, in all cultures, but that djinn normally will focus on women for some reason, although there are some exceptions.
Interesting, yeah. And I think that's what I found most interesting. I had never heard or read that, you know, they're almost that they have free will, that they have belief systems, and what I found really interesting was that a lot of people say, you know, maybe what we have dubbed in the Western world as shadow people, mm-hmm. per se, may actually be the djinn, is kind of what I've read.
That is what I know Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Phil Imbrogno have suggested, and that's an intriguing idea. I think Phil Imbrogno suggests that maybe djinn are some sort of plasma, and the Quran says they are made of smokeless fire, which is, what is that exactly? So I think the idea of them being some type of plasma may make scientific sense if they truly are interdimensional beings. I mean, we're assuming a lot to suggest that they are, because there are some Muslims who say, you know, djinn are not really actual beings. They could be microbes or viruses, because that's what viruses are. You can't really see them, but yet they affect you, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. But I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I will say, and I hope that Barry Fitzgerald will be okay with me saying this. I think it's in one of his books that he has encountered what he feels is a djinn, and that it completely burned up the internal mechanisms of his equipment. That's one of the nastiest things he's ever encountered. I know a TAPS family who encountered what they feel was a demonic case, and they had the same experience. All of their internal components of their equipment just burned up. And when they sent it back to the manufacturer, they could not offer any explanation. I think it was their DVR system. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's the djinn or demons or God knows what, but that's interesting. You know, it's interesting when you start to conceptualize something and then a little bit differently than common wisdom, and then you start to compare notes. Who knows what you come up with? You may come up with a different set of questions than a different set of answers.
Right.
Well, and as you go from culture to culture as well, I mean, I'm sure that they can be called different things. I know, you know, my team participated in an investigation that the family was very Native American oriented, and they referred to something that sounds very similar as Stegini. Mm-hmm. And then we just had the question in chat, could this be considered the same as a serpentine being? So are we looking at maybe the same thing, different names, or what's your take on that?
I probably so. You know, if it's something that exists cross-culturally, then it is some type of phenomena, whether it's a natural phenomena, a supernatural phenomena. It's something that seems fairly consistent. So maybe it is the same thing, and they just find different ways to talk about it.
Right, within their cultural and their languages and things like that, sure.
Yeah, I think you see that too, even in cryptozoology. You know, all the different names we have for Bigfoot. I mean, so many different cultures, so many different tribes had different names for it. But really, I think we're all talking about the same, you know, hairy man.
Yeah. And, you know, you asked me what was one of the most surprising things I learned throughout the book. You know, my book really deals with ghosts and ghost hunting and the paranormal community in those terms. But a surprising number of people told me throughout the book that they have had experiences with weird animals. A really surprising number of people. And in every case, it wasn't just, they weren't alone when they saw it. There was someone else with them when they saw it. So it was collectively experienced. And I felt that was so odd. You know, people, at least in the ghost hunting community, don't always talk about these type of experiences, but a surprising number of people have seen really weird animals in their life that did not fit in any known definition.
Wow. Well, you know, when I said, you know, we experienced that Stegini, it was something, and we don't know, we're just using that name because, to be quite honest, we don't know what else to call what happened that night. And it is one of those things that, as a team, when we refer back to that, it's almost like we don't really like to talk about it much, you know, because people look at us like, what, you know, are you crazy? And it was one of those things that we had some just really different and unique things happen that night, but that we all shared the same experiences and explained what we saw the exact same way. So you know, people are a little bit reluctant when it's something a little bit different and unique, even within our community, to talk about it.
Well, I will say that the people who claim to have seen these things, they were all actually exceptionally educated, very sane people. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, no offense, but it wasn't like a person at Walmart pulling up and be like, yeah, I just saw this big hairy thing back there. You know, it wasn't like that. people who were actually very, very credible people.
Yeah. You know, and I think for me, one of the things I loved so much, what intrigued me as a child, even today as an adult, being as involved with this subject matter as I am, I think it is the mystery of everything that makes me realize that this universe is so big and there are so many unanswered questions out there. But it's really when we get together and when you do research, Deanna, like you've done for your books, where you can start to compare notes, like you said, and really try to start to put together this maybe impossible puzzle to see what kind of picture we're coming up with. I love, and maybe this sounds weird, but I love the idea of feeling so small in this large universe. I love the idea of a great mystery, and I don't think we'll ever truly fully have the answers.
Maybe we're not supposed to.
I was just going to say that. Maybe we're, and you know, really to get a little metaphysical here for a minute, maybe we already have them. You know, we just don't access them from this plane.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, these are all the unanswered questions that I love so much about this field and doing research and trying to learn more. And you're right. Maybe our brains are just not wired to truly understand what is out there. Who knows? You know, that's what's so great about this. If you're just joining us right now on Taps Family Radio, our guest this evening is Deanna Kelly Saeed. She is an accomplished author. And I also love on your book, Deanna, let me find, when you go to your website, it says author and global citizen. It just sounded so cool when I read that. very earthy. Very, very cool.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I got to admit, when we first, where I live here in Michigan, very northern rural area, we're a little bit slower than the rest of the world as far as getting modern technology up here. So most of you guys probably had your internet cruising before I ever got my first internet in my house here. But one of the first things I did when I got attached to the World Wide Web was I wanted to find a website that had something cool about ghosts. And wouldn't you know it, the very first website I ever find, and it's in my bookmarks still today, and this was probably 12, 13, 14 years ago, was a website called ghostvillage.com.
That's right.
And probably one of the most popular paranormal websites still out there today. And this is a website that was founded by a guy who since then has become very well known in the paranormal world from some fantastic books, author Jeff Belanger, also hosts the 30-odd Minutes. You work for GhostVillage.com, which I just found out shortly before the show here. You're an editor there.
That's right. Jeff Belanger, who is great. I have to say he's one of the earliest supporters of my writing when I entered the paranormal community. He is very busy. He is very busy doing some writing for a certain TV show, and two, actually. And he's like, you know, I need someone else to come on board. Deanna, would you like to come help me as and be editor? He is the editor-in-chief and mayor of Ghost Village, but I'm sort of doing the day-to-day stuff. So I recently came aboard just a couple of weeks ago. And in fact, I have to say, if you go now to the site, the features article on the page, on the homepage, is an artistic profile of Grant Wilson. I don't know if you know the guy, but he's on the show on Sci-Fi called Ghost Hunters.
Heard something
heard
about
of him.
That.
I've heard of him. Hey, Deanna, we may even get to see him later this
week. That's right. Yeah. And maybe he'll bring his guitar and play some of his music for us.
I will send that request in. Yeah.
Do that.
That'd be great.
But he's just a super creative guy. And, you know, unfortunately, the show only shows a very small segment of who they are. And Grant's amazing. I mean, he's an author. I mean, he's an artist, and he has a band with his wife and childhood friends. And I was so honored to be able to share that with the public at Ghost Village. Oh, it's part of our Spring of Culture series.
Well, I gotta say, if any of our listeners have never checked out GhostVillage.com, you owe it yourself to. It's a great site to be a part of. It even allows you to take a little banner from it and add it to your site to say you are a member of Ghost Village. And like you said, if Jeff is the mayor, I think we need to dub you, Deanna, as the sheriff of Ghost Village.
Oh, no.
if you're there doing day-to-day operations, I'd say you're the sheriff. And people just got to check it out. It's a fun read. So many. As a matter of fact, way back when, 15, the first time I ever wrote and shared a paranormal event that happened to me was on Ghost Village. I can still find my article on there today when I go there. It's just a fun place to go to. Check it out. And it's so cool to find out that you're an editor there now. So I'll take...
I am. And I will say that I'm always looking for great article. So if anyone out there knows of a really cool haunted location, like an emerging haunted site or anything, if you want to share anything that's related to ghost hunting or the paranormal, please, please get in touch with me. And also encounters, if you've experienced something spooky and weird, we're always looking for encounters to feature.
Yeah, I just have to say, I'm feeling like really stoked about Tapp's family tonight. I mean, listen
so
to the great things. I mean, you know, with Deanna being from Tapp's family, and then I just have to throw this in too. Cormac is sitting here listening, Deanna, to the things that you're saying. And, you know, he was listening to Tim say that he went to Ghost Village way back all those years ago and was impressed. Well, Cormac's saying that he believes the very first Tapp's family or paranormal site that he really took a liking to was Haunted North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he said it was one of the very, the first informative sites he found, so go Tapp's family. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, HSC has been around since the early 90s. They're about the same age as Tapp's itself, and HSC was also one of the earliest Tapp's family groups, so I've just been really blessed to have been around great people. I mean, we know, unfortunately, that there are horror stories. People come into the paranormal community and meet the weirdest people alive on the face of the earth. But I am so blessed that the people I've met have been wonderful people. And the Tapp's experience has been great for me. As I said, I am kind of a Tapp's baby. It doesn't mean that other shows and other cult fan cultures are not equally as influential and as important to people, but my story is part of the Tapp story, and I honor and I value that.
That's awesome. Wow.
Well said.
Yeah. Here. Kind of getting back to your book a minute, you mentioned in your book that paranormal, and I thought this was great, because one of the first things people ask me when they're talking about putting teams together is, what gear do I get? I need to go out and get gear, and they want to run out and they want to get like high dollar gear, like, you know, new investigators that want thermal imaging cameras and things like that. And one of the things that you mentioned in your book, you said paranormal researchers are dealing with more valuable goods than K2 meters and EMF detectors. So what did you mean by that exactly?
Well, as we were mentioning before, what we're really doing is we're telling a new story of who we are right now at this point in history, because we're engaging phenomenal events that science doesn't yet know how to explain. But one thing that we're really doing is honoring history in one of the most profound ways. We're actually allowing the dead to speak, which is quite amazing, literally. And we know there have been some instances where evidence recovered from a paranormal investigation has actually uncovered previously unknown historical facts, and in some cases have actually been used to solve crimes or solve family mysteries. But at the metaphorical and symbolic level, we are revisiting history and sometimes telling stories that have been lost, particularly if when we go investigate places where there were Native Americans or slaves, and we get these voices back during EVP sessions, we are uncovering a side of history that's not always had its place. And this is something we need to honor. And when we go into someone's home, for example, a client's home, in many cases, people are really dealing with some very profound issues. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are having real paranormal events. Sometimes they are having real emotional events. But we're dealing with people's inner world. And this is something we need to honor. And as you mentioned in the previous segment, a lot of people are out there just to have a cool experience. And as you said, that's perfectly okay. But when you go into someone's home, you have to honor the magnitude of the responsibility that you have. And I don't care how much equipment you have. If you act irresponsible and unethical, you are not really helping anybody.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I wish I could just print that out and send it around to everybody. You said that so well.
Thank you. I mean, this isn't a joke. You know, I mean, people who want to go out and legend trip, as Jeff Belanger said, that is cool. I mean, it is great to go out just for fun and have an experience. I think everyone needs to do that because it's so relaxing and it restokes you and gives you energy. But when you're dealing with people or history and you're uncovering the past or dealing with people's personal lives, you know, I mean, for God's sake, just have some class.
Absolutely.
And be honest with yourself. And just be mindful of what you present to people as evidence and how you behave. And you don't need to go out and buy that all expensive equipment to do a good job as an investigator.
Well, and I like what you said, when you need to be mindful of what people are going through and the magnitude of those things in their life. You know, when you go in and you're treating it like it's trivial, people are dealing with some big, big issues and, you know, grief and life and death and things like that. And you should honor that. And I really like the way you said that.
Well, thank you. I mentioned this in the book. There was a team that was brought in. It wasn't a TAP family team, but they were brought into a home and they were doing an EVP session in the bedroom. And then from the living room, the TAP theme song came on. They were watching Ghost Hunters.
Oh no.
God. And I mean, how surreal is that? But isn't that symbolic of so many things at so many different levels?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that must have been quite the scene there. now, Deanna, kind of change gears a little bit, go back to where we just kind of touched on it a little bit, but I'm really interested in you know, kind of the Islam's take on ghosts and other types of paranormal phenomena. Can you touch on that a little bit more?
Sure. As I mentioned before, the Quran mentions jinn, which are interdimensional beings with free will. Interestingly, the official rhetoric from Islamic thinkers is that ghosts, as many people believe ghosts to be, whether it's souls or energy or whatever, they don't necessarily believe in that, because they believe once you die, you go to something called time in the grave, which is like a holding pin until judgment day. It is not purgatory. It has nothing to do with purgatory. A lot of people say, well, it's like purgatory. It's not. According to the Quran, everyone except Jesus, which is slightly different, but everyone is... when we die, we're all in the grave, time in the grave. And no one is allotted to heaven or hell until judgment day. Now, Jesus, however, is in heaven, because Muslims do revere Jesus. But everyone else is time in the grave. And if you've been righteous and good, it'll be a very quick little nap. If you've been naughty, you know, you're going to kind of be tormented, not tortured, but tormented. But I find that concept to be very interesting. If no soul has actually gone to heaven or hell yet, but we're somewhere, another dimension, sort of waiting it out, doesn't mm-hmm. that theoretically leave room for hauntings, for yeah, intelligent right. hauntings? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I find that to be very fascinating, although a lot of Muslims won't believe in ghosts, because when they think of that, a lot of Muslim scholars won't believe in ghosts, because when they think of ghosts, they think of the Hollywood version, which is kind of dumb. You know, the Hollywood version is unrealistic and dumb. And a lot
of... I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. I love that.
Well, it's true.
It's very true.
And it's hard sometimes to keep the composure when we do deal with clients, and that's what they're basing things on, that Hollywood ghost, and you want to go, oh, really? You know, but
yeah,
you know, you have to handle that a little delicately, but yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how people, their own personal beliefs will paint what they actually experience, but... You know, most Muslims, when something weird happens, they'll say, oh, it's the jinn. And many families go to very elaborate things to keep the jinn out. Now, of course, it differs depending on the educational level of the family. But even very highly educated people will accept the concept of the jinn to some degree. And what a lot of Muslims will do is post Quranic sayings. There's certain verses which are sort of, you know, jinn repellent. They'll post them around the house. Or they'll say them at certain moments, especially when you go to the bathroom. Apparently, jinn like to hang out in unclean places, so you're supposed to, you know, it's wise to say certain or to say certain things when you enter the bathroom. In some cases, to sort of, you know, get the jinn out. Now that is folklore, of course, but jinn are also thought to hang out in cemeteries, which is very interesting because there's a cross-cultural link to burial places where the dead are buried and, you know, supernatural things. A lot of people will actually go to individuals who perform sort of like white magic and get prescriptions to keep the jinn away. There's a component between black magic and jinn. People believe that jinn sort of execute black magic curses. So if people do black magic, the jinn kind of, they're the ones who actually implement that. You can control jinn through black magic. That's one perspective. So, it's quite complex when you actually go over to the Middle East and Africa and Central Asia. Jinn have a lot of metaphorical power in certain segments of the society.
Now, do you include any discussion on that? That is so fascinating. Do you include any discussion on that in this book, or are you incorporating that into your next book?
I do, actually. The last chapter of my book is called So the Cover Chick is a Ghost Hunter, where I talk about my own story and how Islam views the paranormal.
Okay. Well, definitely something to look into then for those who are kind of like me, just trying to understand the concept of jinn. And, you know, is there another good resource? I know Mary Ellen Guiley, I think, brought that up when we interviewed her as well. Or maybe, Tim, you might have asked her.
She has a brand new book out just on the jinn.
That's right. I remember
that was one of the things we were talking to her about. Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't read it all, but what I have read, I think it's very fascinating. I think it's a great addition, especially as people become more interested in the jinn. I don't know if I would agree with everything that she and Phil and Brogno say, but that's okay. You know, I mean, Rosemary has researched so many things. So, I mean, she's really amazing. It's unfortunate she doesn't get more attention. She's researched so extensively that she can really pull a lot of other elements together in her discussion of the jinn. Definitely check that out, all the listeners out there.
Yes, for sure. And one thing I found interesting too, Deanna, kind of, you know, where, you know, if you're looking at a map of faith and religion, I fall in the land of Catholicism, you know. So one thing in our belief, though, as Catholics is actually, and I didn't realize this until tonight, I'm learning so much tonight, that in Catholicism, there's a place that we believe in called purgatory. Mm-hmm. Which is the space between heaven or hell. After you die, if you haven't been good enough to enter heaven, but you're not bad enough to go hang out with the devil, you're in purgatory, which they say is where most souls go until you have been prayed for enough or until judgment day. Mm-hmm. And so I just found it very interesting. I did not realize there was that kind of overlapping idea of a place in between. Because for me, that's always been my belief, that a lot of the hauntings are from souls that are in purgatory. That's just my personal belief that guides me through what I do. So I just found it real interesting there.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the concept of purgatory does provide a conceptual model for hauntings. I mean, you know, I guess people assume once you go to heaven or hell, you're sort of out, you're just gone from this dimension. Right. And purgatory gives you that loophole, I guess.
But, yes, exactly.
Yeah. But as we learn, go ahead.
But I was just going to say, but as a Catholic, too, I'm also very... I feel guilty for going after ghosts. So, you know, we're taught to feel guilty a lot as Catholics, but, so.
Fiona, I had an interesting discussion today on Facebook, and now that we're having this discussion, I'm kind of wondering, is there room in Islam for the idea of reincarnation?
No, there's not. There's not at all. And Islam believes that the soul, and the Quran mentions that when you die, even before you're born, the soul is on a journey, and the time that it spends in your body is really a really short part of that journey. Once you die, you continue on the journey, which is very interesting to me. But your soul isn't recycled back into this world through someone else. Hinduism, on the other hand, that's a major component of their religion, is reincarnation. And Hinduism is very fascinating. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but they believe if you don't burn the body, if you don't dispose of the physical body, that itself will cause hauntings, which is completely different from what many believe in America or in the Western societies. So, you know, one Hindu I spoke with one time, he said, you know, America is so haunted because you guys just bury the bodies, you don't burn them.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's like, well, I never thought of it like that, but now that you mention it, maybe, but... Yeah, no, Islam does not believe in reincarnation.
Well, I know, you know, you were talking about the different concepts, you know, with Tim, with purgatory and things like that. And I know some who do believe in reincarnation, which, by the way, I haven't made up my mind on my belief there yet, as so many other things. But there is supposed to be a period between lives where there's kind of a life review going on and things like that. And so, like Tim, I was, you know, kind of wondering if that's where some of our hauntings come from, kind of a mesh over from that that period there. But you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I often wonder about reincarnation, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I have a friend who now he went to the Edward Cayce Institute, and he can do past life regression, which is quite fascinating. I often wonder if it's not reincarnation that we're picking up on, but other people's memories and thoughts that are still hanging out in the universe that somehow we're accessing.
Well, and one of the things that came up, and I believe we even talked about it on our last show or one of the most recent shows, was genetic memory. We kind of have that idea now to toss around in the middle of everything else, where memories are handed down genetically. Wow, interesting stuff. Are we sure we have to end the show tonight, Tim? Can we just keep going? I mean, this is great.
Well, Chris, you and I can continue this discussion over the weekend with many of the other people.
Absolutely. I'll take you up on that for sure.
I'm totally bumming. I can't make it there this weekend.
I know.
It would have been so cool to keep this discussion going. So you guys just take Cliff Notes and send them along to me.
We will, as long as you promise to make next year's.
You got it. Definitely. Now, you are working on a second book already, Deanna. Is that right?
I am. My publisher asked me if I wanted to do this. They have a series out, so you want to be a different thing, where it's a tarot reader or a psychic, and I don't do any of that. But they asked me if I wanted to do So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter. And I said, okay, that sounds interesting. And I will preface this by saying there's so many really good How to Ghost Hunt books out there. I mean, amazing ones out there by Lord Auerbach and Troy Taylor and Joshua Warren. I often wonder why would, you know, any publisher want to do another one. But what I'm going to do is take more of a research and design approach. I do go into how to start your own group and all that, but I'm going to focus on how to actually do more of a research oriented approach to investigation. And I also look into nitty-gritty how to do historical research, because there's not a lot of books that really break that down. Most books just say go to the courthouse, and that's really just a small part of it. So that's how my book is going to be a little bit different. I also have some extensive discussions on ethics, because there's an entirely new ethical landscape that's emerging since since the advent of paranormal reality TV. And I look into all of these things because the old script of ghost hunting has changed, for better or for worse. It has changed because of media influence. And we need to deal now with new realities, not just in dealing with the public, but in dealing with clients and the influx of new equipment and new ideas. And we've also, many ghost hunters have kind of forgotten or don't know the psychical research and parapsychology legacy. Many people don't understand what they're doing actually has a historical root to it. And I really want to dig that back up so people appreciate what happened before.
I love it. I love this, man. This sounds great, because all three of those other authors that you named that have, you know, How to Be a Ghost Hunter book, I read all of them many years ago, back when I was first really getting serious about this to see what they had to say. I couldn't agree with you more. The field has changed so much in the last decade plus that I think this is fresh. I think this is new. There might be other books out there on how to hunt ghosts, but I don't think they're going to be as up-to-date as this one, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I will be, Chris, I will forewarn you, I'm going to be like trailing all of our Happy Taps family members this weekend to get interviews and input from people.
Oh, I think that's great. We can use that as our hidden agenda for pulling them all together.
That's right. Group time.
That's right.
What's the due date for that book?
I think it's spring of 2012. I think.
Oh, yeah. Right around the corner then.
That's spring or summer, yeah.
Yeah. Well, get it out before the winter, because you know the Mayans say everything's done in the winter. So.
Oh, yeah.
I am so done now, and I've been telling Mary Cuff and all these other people, this weekend to me is the first real vacation I've had in a while. It's my mental health break.
You're getting around a group of ghost hunters for your mental health break. Do you realize what that sounds like to some people?
Well, now that you put it that way. Yeah, it might be therapy afterwards.
Sounds perfectly normal to me. I don't know what you're getting at there, Tim.
Yeah, well, it is for some of us. For most, probably don't get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm traveling as a Muslim with some of my gear, perhaps. That might not be good news, but I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I need a break. Everybody needs a break from being a mommy sometimes and from doing your normal everyday routine. So this weekend is very meaningful to me in that regard.
Very cool. Yeah,
if I can interrupt just real quick, we had a question in chat that I say real quick, this is so not fair. Okay, real quick, 2 seconds or less, can you tell us your thought on parallel universes?
Oh, is that a joke?
No, seriously, she just asked. It's a great
you
question.
You asked that. well, you know, according to quantum physics, there is some, that idea does have some theoretical legitimacy, and I find it to be particularly compelling because it does provide a hypothetical explanation for paranormal phenomena that is conceivably based in science.
Are you sure you didn't have that planned out? That was a great answer.
I think I wrote it in my book somewhere.
That was awesome. Yeah. Very awesome. That did come from our chat room, which is another reason people need to get into this chat room each time so we can throw the questions out for our guests. That was a great question.
And it just proves we actually do ask the questions.
That's
if you
right.
Write them in.
It was a good question, by the way. I didn't know who asked that, but thank you for bringing it up.
Her name is Deanna Kelly Saeed. You can find her online many places, DeannaKellySaeed.com. You can also follow her on Facebook and on Twitter. You welcome them both. Is that correct?
I do.
Don't mind if people stalk you on there. You're all good,
no.
Right?
Well, yeah, stalk me, but carefully at a distance.
Exactly. That's exactly what I meant. Deanna, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Again, go check out her first book, Paranormal Obsession, America's Fascination with Ghosts, Haunting, Spooks, and Spirits, and be watching for her new one coming out next spring, So You Want to Hunt Ghosts. Deanna, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. I really had a great time.
Thanks, Deanna. So we'll see you this weekend.
Sure. See you later.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There we go, Deanna Kelly Saeed. You know, we gotta give Larry a big kudos. He's been really bringing in some great guests for us lately.
Yes, he has. And you know, it's a good problem to have when a show wraps up and we're like, no, you know, we really want more time. That and she's one of those guests that we could have just gone on and on. That's
yep.
Just great.
Exactly. Well, we are going to take a quick break here on Taps Family Radio on Jackalope Radio. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap up our show with Mailbag. That's coming up right here. Jackalope Radio, it's TFR.
Tired of wondering where to get the best ghost hunting gear at the best price? Wondering if you're being ripped off or if the product is high quality and can last the rugged life of a ghost hunter? Your fear and search is over. Creepy Hollow Gear is the home of ghost hunting gear made by ghost hunters for ghost hunters. Founded by Paul Bradford of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International, Paul wanted to create a place where all the equipment was proven and tested in the field. Some even built by Paul and his team, making Creepy Hollow Gear the only place you can get some of this equipment. Check them out for yourself at www.creepyhollowgear.com, where you'll find a place that is set up for teams and enthusiasts who aren't inclined to build their own equipment or kit. A site that has the top gear at prices a team on a budget can afford. A place where people can try new equipment and technology. That's www.creepyhollowgear.com. Ghost hunting gear made by ghost hunters for ghost hunters.
You told us you wanted more variety.
All types of music. I love the music.
With less commercials, and we deliver. Jackalope Radio.
If you are in need of a professional, experienced, and confidential paranormal investigation at a home or commercial location, the International Paranormal Reporting Group is ready to talk with you. For more information about us and other services we offer, or to interact with team members and people just like you, visit us online at IPRGC.com. That's IPRGC.com. The International Paranormal Reporting Group is a proud TAPS family member.
Thank you.
back. Good evening. Welcome back to Tabs Family Radio. Tim Ellis, Chris Perkins with you. You know, sometimes I think we should run like a blooper reel. We should have Cormac record us off the air because I think that's where the funniest stuff happens sometimes.
Oh, and, if people only knew. And the fires we put out sometimes, you know, yeah. Breaks is funny.
And literally putting them out with 1 second left to go before Cormac gives us a green light. It's an art within itself. But anyways, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Tabs Family Radio. Tim Ellis, Chris Perkins with you on Jackalope Radio, live on tabsfamilyradio.net. Again, you can find us in there and chat with us live. We've always got myself and Chris, and I think Cormac's in there sometimes, but we've also got other people in there helping us too, Larry. So if you ever have questions and you're worried that we're not going to see your questions posted, we've got enough eyes looking on the chat room to make sure that we get your questions out to our guests. And again, we want to take a moment to thank our wonderful guests this evening, Deanna Kelly Saeed. What a interesting person.
Wow.
So much information.
And in areas that we don't generally talk about, like I said, right. You know, it's a very sensitive thing sometimes to bring up religion, and people get angry and they get, you know, uptight. And it's nice to be able to bring that up and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good point. All right. We've only got about 9 minutes left here before we got to wrap up another show. So let's finish out here with a mailbag, Chris. We got some mailbag questions from our listeners?
We do. And actually, one of them kind of goes in with something we were talking about earlier, but I'll get to that one next. We're going to do this first one first. The question is, aside from residual and intelligent haunts, how many haunts are truly a negative energy haunting? And I thought this was interesting for two reasons, because we talked tonight about how the media and all of the shows has educated the general public with the terminology. Because I think, you know, before all these shows came out, would you have bumped into anybody in the public that would have known residual, intelligent, and those words in regard to ghosts?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No. But, you know, she wants to know, you know, how many are truly negative energy hauntings, and I think very, 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 very few.
Yeah, as do I. And again, this is not a slam on any other shows out there, but there are certain shows out there that will make you believe through their editing and through reasons for ratings that every haunting is negative
Yes.
or demonic. And I'm sure, I know you have, Chris, because we have talked about this, and as have we, not only from the cases we get from Tapp's family, but from the cases we get sent direct to our team, the amount of people who claim to have a negative or demonic haunting, or believe they do, has increased tenfold over the last 5 or 6 years.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, people are afraid, instinctually, I think, of things that they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But when what they're seeing played out on those other shows, it only supports that fear by making them think that, you know, if you're afraid, it must be negative, it must be a demon. Then it just, you know, it grabs a hold of those people, and that's hard to break.
Yeah.
Because they put a lot of credibility into the things that they're seeing. It's just, yeah, it, for me personally, with my team, minimal, very few. And I would go even so far as to say, I couldn't tell you that any of them have ever been demonic.
No,
in my experience.
My team has been at this for 12 years now, and in those 12 years, we have not encountered one demonic case yet. So, you know, that's a good point, too. I mean, look at the teams that are actually out there. How many are we actually encountering as opposed to what the TV shows are bringing to your living room every night?
Right.
You know? Another thing, too, that I find very frustrating is, and I don't know if you're encountering this, but the people who do come to us with an email or a phone call that they believe they've got a demonic haunting, as soon as you try to, all I'm trying to do is to calm them down and try to have them look at it realistically, they actually get defensive because they think I'm not believing them. And
right.
I'm trying to tell them that's not the case. I'm trying to make you more relaxed in your own home until either A, the team can get there, or we can help you some other way.
It puts us in a very awkward position, and I do experience that, because one thing that I've found that they will also do is just say, well, then we need to find somebody else to help us, and then they will go for a team who is more apt to maybe support that, that they're all demonic. And, you know, that's a shame because you feel like, gosh, I really want to help this person, but they're just fixated on the idea that they have, and not to say that they don't, you know, maybe right. because my team hasn't experienced that, you know, it doesn't mean that that doesn't happen, but, you know, it's just a shame to see people so fixated on it that they won't let it go and aren't open to hearing better explanations.
Let me preface this real quick, what I'm about to say. Let me preface this by saying that there is no scientific evidence to back up the numbers and the percentages I'm about to give. Understand that I only use these numbers so that it's a nice round number when I'm talking to prospective clients or people who just send us an email. I use this number simply to make it easy for people to understand in their head right away. I say of 100% of reported hauntings, and again, no scientific evidence, this is my belief in what I have encountered. Of those 100% claims, 25% of them will be actual hauntings. Now, within that 25%, make that 25% 100% again of the actual hauntings, maybe 2 to 3% within that 25%, maybe would be negative or demonic. Again, there's no scientific evidence. I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for the person to see how actual small the actual numbers of negative or demonic hauntings are in the big picture.
I think those numbers are great, actually. And even, you know, like you said, maybe that 2 to 3%, people still have to keep in mind that there's no proof of any of this.
Yep.
So that's just based on, you know, our best guesstimate, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Good question. Very good question. And I think we could keep going on that one for a while. So maybe we should move on to the next one.
Yeah, because we've done whole shows based on some of that stuff. Well, the other question kind of went with what we were talking about earlier when we were hitting on having a psychological resource available for people. Mm-hmm. And the question, and I thought it was good because it kind of hits on that. She says, what do the TAPS family teams offer the families as far as some type of care? There's a concern for the new clients that are coming out in the open with their experiences, and they worry about being labeled crazy.
Right.
The first thing I want to say in response to that, because she worded this, what does TAPS family offer? And I need to remind people that TAPS family teams operate as their own individual teams. So as a whole, TAPS family doesn't have one specific resource that each team needs to use. That's going to be up to each team to have that in place. But I do think that most teams in TAPS family, well, let me stop there and say that we are putting that together. We actually have a resource being developed right now for our TAPS family website that will have some of those resources available right on our website.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's in development now. And there is a need for that for people who even are not comfortable enough to contact a team yet, you know. But I think most teams rely on clergy.
Yeah, that helps a lot, absolutely. Where I have found problems, though, what I find very tough is finding clergy that are comfortable enough to deal to work on this. I don't know if you've ran into that. And maybe, again, it's because I come from a small town, maybe some of the, you know, the clergy here are a little bit, you know, well, you know, I even though I may agree with what you guys are doing out there, I don't know that I feel comfortable getting involved. So,
yeah.
But with that being said, there have been some clergy that I've found not too far from our town that we have worked with in the past. For my team personally, we had a friend of mine who is a psychologist out in Arizona. So he allowed his number. He allowed us to give his personal number to many people that we worked with who needed someone to talk to. Since then, we have actually brought in a local guy who is a certified psychologist and actually works with patients, and he is now a member of the team, so we actually can bring him in the field with us and he can speak one-on-one with the people. And I'm so happy to finally have that with the team.
It's hard because they're putting their professional credibility on the line too, and they don't want to lose that. It's hard enough to attain. You know, our case manager is a counselor and is now going for her advanced degrees in psychology, so we try to have our case manager from the beginning to the end of the case available for each client, and I think it's just so important that teams address that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a needed component of the team at some point. I realize in the beginning you may not have access to that right away, but that's fine. That's all part of the growing process of Absolutely. Making your team solid enough, you know.
And yet another thing those new teams need to keep in mind when they build their teams, how are they going to satisfy that? So, yes. Mm-hmm. Great question.
Very good question. Two great questions, but what would you expect from a show like we've had tonight, where we could have just been, both of our guests, Danny and Deanna, we could have just kept going with them all night.
Oh, and so. It was just so fun to have such great guests that are Taps family. Wow, quality folks.
Well, Chris, again, listen, I am so jealous that I'm not going to get to be with you guys this coming weekend. It didn't work out personally for me, and I know there's a few other guys from my team who we were seriously looking into it earlier on, and it just didn't work out. So I hope it goes over so fantastic for you guys. I hope you have the best time, and because I want it to roll over into next year where you guys are like, this was so cool, we're doing a second annual.
Definitely be there in spirit.
Yes, absolutely, and take some photos. All right,
we'll do.
All right. That's going to do it for another fantastic edition of Taps Family Radio. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you live in 2 more weeks right here on Jackalope Radio. It's TFR. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Taps Family Radio, the safest place in the paranormal world. Join us every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific on the new home for Taps Family Radio, Jackalope Radio. Thank you.